You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Merry Christmas to you all, and a warm welcome to all of those who are visiting, both family members and those new to the Advent. It's very nice to have you here, and a warm welcome to you all. It has been brought to my attention recently by a good friend of mine who happens to be a great musician and a historian of great music, that deep within side two of Simon and Garfunkel's 1966, Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Thyme, is a special recording of a Christmas song that you all know. Silent Night is its name, and it is recorded with a twist. Entitled 7 O'Clock News / Silent Night, the folk rock duo sings Silent Night with the backdrop of the tragic events of the day, such as, now this is 1966, former Vice President Richard Nixon says that unless there is a substantial increase in the present war effort in Vietnam, the U.S. should look forward to 5 more years of war. In New York, Nixon also said that opposition to the war in this country is the greatest single weapon working against the U.S., and so on. Now, we'll return to that, but before we do, I invite you to consider the following as you keep open your gospel nativity reading. I invite you to consider the following. Consider imaginatively the Christian faith as a grand house. And as you do so, when you knock on the door, what do you long to find therein? If the Christian faith were a great and stately home, if you were to walk up the garden path and knock on the door, what would you hope to find inside? Now, it is Christmas Eve. We have entered into that time of year when predominantly the activity of our year draws to a close. Now, that's not universal, but some of you have blessedly turned on your out-of-office emails for the rest of the year. Many of you are on Christmas break between school terms. It's a time of year when time itself begins to orient differently. Today is Christmas Eve. We don't track so much time. We don't track days so much like the days of the week. So today is Tuesday, for those of you who are keeping track, or the date, but our orientation falls completely and totally on the events of these 2 days. Today is Christmas Eve. Tomorrow is Christmas Day. The day after that will be the day after Christmas, and then the second day after Christmas, and so on and so forth until we arrive at the new year. And there's good reason for that. There's a very good reason for that. Within these 2 days, today and tomorrow, in particular, we mark the genesis of the single greatest historical event that this world has ever known. The Gospel of Luke, as many of you know, is an account of history. Luke was an educated man, a physician, who compiled his gospel from eyewitness accounts into a real historical document of the events concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, which is to say, Luke did not just make this up. Luke's recording of the single most important event of all time pertains not to just these pages of the historical account that you hold before you, but also pertains directly to you. It is the single most important event that pertains to your life and in your history. As Luke tells us, Jesus Christ was born under the reign of Augustus Caesar, under whose rule the Roman Empire spanned all, if not parts of, or parts if not all, of the Mediterranean world and beyond, from the island of Britain to Western Europe, North Africa, the Arabian Peninsula, and into the Near and Middle East. And under his rule, he was celebrated for having inaugurated peace throughout the whole empire, the Pax Romana, a peace brought by both the sword and the fear of it. He was, by all means, the ruler of the world, or at least the geopolitical world as he knew it. He ruled, Augustus Caesar did, for 40 years. He oversaw the global expansion of Rome, and after he died, the Roman Senate saw fit to declare him to be a god. So how then, I ask, how then is the single most important event during his reign no less in all of history, was the birth of an obscure Jewish boy born in a stable in Bethlehem. How, too, is it that the single most important event pertaining to your life is the birth of this Jewish boy to an unwed mother from an unimportant town somewhere in the range in the span of 6 BC to the first year of our Lord? Luke records in the pages before you a visitation by an angel to a group of shepherds about a mile away from the nativity scene, shepherds who are ordinary and simple and fairly unimportant men. The angel says, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I bring to your attention two central elements of the message heralded by this angel. The first is this: good news. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Now, the term good news, particularly in the ancient Greek, the language of the New Testament, finds its etymology in the realm of war. Typically, this good news was an announcement that arrived from a distant battlefield, either by horse or by a messenger, by a letter, or by a ship, that the battle over the enemy was won. It concerns both victory and a return to peace. If over a tyrant, it meant that freedom itself was restored. The angel of the Lord says, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Now, the presupposition is this: in order for there to be good news, there must first be either news that is characterized as bad or at the very least indifferent. Now, it's hard to know where to begin for the bad news for the Jews, God's people, and in their history. We could begin with original sin or captivity in Egypt and being exiled in the north and then being exiled in the south. But in their recent history, their land, after being conquered by the Assyrians and then the Babylonians, they were conquered by the Persians and then the Greeks and then the Romans, who are taxing them now, as we find in these pages. Now, that's just the Jews, but what about you? What's the bad news for you? And in your life, do you have any? From 40,000 feet, I might say this: the bad news for you and for me and for all of us here is that things here on this earth, things here in this world, are not completely all right. We don't like hearing the 7 o'clock news, period. A nod to Simon and Garfunkel. But the reality is that maybe your life itself, if we're honest, can sometimes feel like the 7 o'clock news, which is read in newsflash spurts in your mind. You lost a loved one this year, or you had an operation that didn't go according to plan. You didn't get the job you wanted. You can't shake the feeling that you're being mistreated by someone in authority. You can't pull yourself out of a funk, or your chronic pain is going nowhere. Now, the interesting thing is that on the surface, things might appear to be mostly all right. They might appear to be 50-50 or even 70-30 bad to good, maybe even as low as 90-10. And funnily enough, you might be okay with that because at least you have that 10% to hold on to. But the good news, I'm getting to the good news, of Christianity is that, this is why Luke records the most important event of all time, the good news of Christianity is this: in light of your bad news, in whatever form it may be, and believe me, it's there, the good news for us is that we don't knock on the door of the Christian faith when we need it and find no one home. We don't arrive at a pseudo-intellectual manor and knock on the door to only find theatrics and make-believe and playthings. We don't knock on the door of Christianity when we want to be our own hero or change the world or make it a better place or even be the defender of the faith. We knock on the door of Christianity because within this true religion, we find within a Savior. That is the good news. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, which is the second core component to the angel's message. To be given a Savior by nature finds its precondition that those who are given a Savior cannot save themselves, try as they might. They are people, they are you and I, who need saving, who need deliverance from those things that we're trying to fix. The past we're all trying to outrun, the problems we're trying to solve, or the sin that we're trying to make up for, but find we can't. There are times, perhaps for you, when you have felt locked away in a form of your own prison. For Andy Dufresne, time and pressure provided a way out. That's a Shawshank Redemption reference. 1994, Gen Zers. Go home and watch it. But for the rest of us, time and pressure only condemns, only reminds us that we're only pushing a boulder up a hill, left to ourselves that will roll back down. The jailed man cannot unlock his cell door. Salvation is the person on the outside of those metal bars with a key and saying, I see you in there. Let's get out of here. As we are gathered here now, it is Tuesday evening, but none of you remembered that because it's Christmas Eve. God Himself, in the fullness of mankind, came down to earth sometime in the range of 6 BC and 1 AD, and the world has never been the same. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Those who dwelled, which is to say those who have lived in a land of deep darkness, who have lived locked away or in obscurity or have lived in the shadow of bad news, have seen a great light, who is Christ our Lord, God Himself made man, who has come. Perhaps this year you have been waiting for something, something that has not yet arrived. Perhaps you have longed for a letter in the mail with your name on it, the contents within having the news for which you are longing. The people have seen a great light, and the letter has come. Merry Christmas to you all. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.